after two successful albums, four Grammys, and touring the country as well as overseas, the musical duo The Civil Wars disbanded, citing irreconcilable differences. 4 years after their last show, one half of the duo, John Paul White, has new music. He was in Atlanta yesterday and played a sold-out show at Eddie's Attic. He stopped by WABE Studios and spoke with our producer, Gabby Watts. He also played some of his new music. Here's Black Leaf.
Upcoming album Beulah, and I was just wondering, there's that dissident note in there. Was that, did you come up with this guitar line and then add the words? How did that one work?
I actually did, yeah. That was I was playing that first chord and accidentally played the dissonant note because I didn't have my fingers in the right place, and immediately fell in love with it, which is how I come up with most of the things that people think are very inventive and unique. It's just a happy accident, but I knew when I heard it, there was something there. And so everything kind of grew out of that, which isn't always the case. Sometimes I'll have a thematic idea in my head. But that was one of those moments I was just noodling and everything just blossomed out of it. And, you know, I hadn't been writing songs for quite a while. And so when I finally sat down to write, things like that happened a lot. It was like, everything was right there at my fingertips waiting to come out, and which is, you know, it's not necessarily common, for me at least. And so I just grabbed it all while I could.
So over the past few years, have you not even been noodling, or just no straight up writing, no noodling, no nothing?
Not really almost anything at all. I did a song for T-Bone Burnett for True Detective soundtrack, the second season. He reached out to me and on a whim just thought, this may fit you, especially because as grim and dark as that show is, he thought, oh, I know who I'll call.
Could be a sort of backhanded compliment.
It could. I took it as a straightforward compliment. I was thrilled because I was a fan of the show. And so I wrote something just for that, and that was it. But I'd been producing records on like Donnie Fritz and Dylan LeBlanc and Penny and Sparrow for our little label, Single Lock, back in the Shoals. And that was good for me. I was being creative and I enjoyed that a lot, but I started having these songs starting to loop in my head that I couldn't ignore and finally had to start writing. But I did not set out to write songs, and I wasn't sure if I would. And I was okay with that because I was happy being dad, husband, and homeowner, and label owner, and studio owner, and I was busy, plenty busy. But I don't know, that people say you're meant to do certain things, and I always kind of laughed at that. Like, I think a lot of it you choose, but this was definitely an instance of, you know, I couldn't not do it.
Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm sort of interested in playing music your whole life, and then mm-hmm. sort of being okay with not creating it for a while. It's not a story you hear very often.
I guess not. You know, when I first started writing songs, most people that write songs grew up wanting to write songs. They were in high school and they were writing songs, or even grade school. And I didn't do that. I wanted to sing. I did want to sing. I wanted to entertain people. I loved that feeling of standing in front of people. And I was definitely into that. But writing songs was something that was a chore. I did it as a means to an end. And so when I got to college and I really wanted a gig, I figured out that songwriting was something that I figured the craft out of it, and I had an opportunity to sign a little publishing deal and write songs for a living, so I did. But I won't ever say that I loved doing it. And so when Single Lock came along and I decided to stop touring, it wasn't that hard to stop writing, to be honest. And I really wondered, I thought what will come back first is wanting to sing for people. I didn't necessarily know if songwriting was really something I was meant to do or something that I just could do. And I found out, and I'm happy to find out that it's something that I actually did want to do and have really enjoyed doing. And I have a whole different spark. I have a whole different drive to do it than I necessarily did before, where I don't feel like I have to do it, but I want to.
So do you think that's changed the sound a lot on your upcoming release? Is there more joy and happiness in it? Because all know you're known for your joy and happiness.
I know. I am. The songs that I always gravitate toward is the dark ones. That's the songs I'll pick out on the radio, that I'll pick off of records, the songs that I cover. I've said this before, there are people that are put on this earth to cheer you up, and I'm not necessarily one of them. So I do it in my own way.
Well, you can think of it as like, at least I'm not as sad as that guy,
That's true.
That could cheer you up.
I know. I listen to other folks and I'm like, come on, I'm not that sad. There's a glimmer of hope in there.
And I thought it was interesting how you're talking about being maybe more interested in performing, singing versus writing. But from for example, the Civil War's live album, you are phenomenal at stage banter. Oh. And I've seen plenty of artists who it's more awkward or they avoid it. So what's your secret for good stage banter?
I don't necessarily have a secret. I get bored. And I feel like if I'm getting bored, so are they. And so, sometimes early on when I was playing, I could feel it being really heavy in the room. And I got to thinking that, the way I'm going to be able to make this balance is if I lighten it up in between songs. But it's also kind of who I am too. I'm a smart aleck. I might as well let it show. And then I feel more at ease, and I feel like they do too. And I feel like they can go on that ride along with me, where they can laugh, they can, cry if they see fit. But I don't think it should be all or nothing. I mean, I'd rather just go across the board with whatever emotion, but I don't really have a secret. I guess you just gotta be full of hot air, and that's me.
As a performer, it seems that you have enough of a following that you could play at larger venues, but you're starting your tour here in Atlanta after a couple of home shows, and you're going to Eddie's Attic. For you, what is it about that space that we do have a lot of larger songwriters who will go there and perform?
Right. Multiple reasons for me. This first time through, I wanted to make sure that it was smaller places, just because I'm still getting my wings. I'm still figuring it out. And the stage banter is going to be awkward, and the changing guitars will be awkward. And that's I'm still trying to be less clumsy. And so smaller shows make that a little bit more comfortable for me, when I can see everybody in the room and I can feel like we're all in a living room together. That sounded good to me. But also with Eddie's, obviously with the Civil Wars, we did the live record that was done there. But before that, I had played probably 3 or 4 times. I did a show with Will Hogan, with Alice Peacock, and with Mindy Smith. And I just love playing there. It feels a little like home. And there have been different people there running the place, owning the place, but it's always felt right.
Well, John Paul White, thank you so much for coming in and playing some of your music and talking with me today.
Thank you, Gabby.